It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
President Trump threatened to terminate the North America Free Trade Agreement. He has, though mostly in name. In the Rose Garden, the president announced an updated NAFTA.
We have successfully completed negotiations on a brand new deal to terminate and replace NAFTA and the NAFTA trade agreements with a new U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement.
USMCA, the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement. For weeks, it appeared this new deal would exclude Canada. In August, the U.S. and Mexico reached an agreement. Discussions between the U.S. and Canada soured, with President Trump threatening to leave Canada out of any deal and impose tariffs on all auto imports from Canada into the U.S.
The question of NAFTA and renegotiating NAFTA has been a challenge. Conversations with the president.
He's a professional. I'm a professional. We had very strong tensions. I just spoke with him. We have a great relationship.
Canada agreed to relax restrictions on U.S. dairy imports. The Trump administration dropped its demand to eliminate specialized NAFTA courts to resolve differences between the countries. The new agreement also requires automakers to build a greater percentage of their cars in North America with higher wage employees, and it updates rules governing digital trade. Despite the agreement, U.S. tariffs on steel and aluminum remain. There is one more significant step to finalize this free trade agreement: Congress. A senior administration official says the White House will submit this agreement for the next Congress to ratify, the one voters will select in November.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That was Rich Edson of Fox News. You know, I don't think Americans fully understand our neighbors to the north who have, Canada has just grown rich with American policies, I think starting with George Herbert Walker Bush when they did the NAFTA agreement. I think that was under George Herbert Walker. But anyway, George Herbert Walker was in favor of no borders between Canada and Mexico. He started talking about that when it was really sounded radical. It was open free trade, you know? And so Canada began to prosper and has prospered to the point. You ever watch HGTV and see how much the homes in Canada are worth? And you actually see how beautiful they are? Well, now nobody resents that. Good for our cousins to the north doing well. But it has happened at the expense of Americans. If you go to Canada, it's very expensive up there. Very. Could I just say very? Everything is so pricey because they protect their people. They protect their producers. They are very protectionist, but it has come at our expense. And I find it very interesting. I can't say that there wasn't an intense amount of satisfaction to me when I saw that at the UN last week, President Trump refused to meet with the Canadians. He was, because they're very arrogant. They are also, they feel, whether they really feel superior to Americans, I can't say, but they certainly like to act like they are and really are so critical. It's pretty amazing to me. I've experienced it many, many times in Canada. And so the president just sort of put Justin Trudeau in his place, refused to negotiate and said, if you're not interested in a new agreement with new terms, then never mind, you're not going to be in this. We'll negotiate with Mexico. And he held his ground. And then Justin Trudeau came around at the very at the 11th hour because Canada needs us, you know, and we don't need them as much. But I don't think we mind, you know, doing friendly trades with them and being neighbors, good neighbors. So it was really a victory. The stock market has soared. Now, is that the reason that I support President Trump and these policies? It's, you know, prosperity is a byproduct of doing things the right way. It's the byproduct of, I'm not attributing this to President Trump. I'm just saying the principle is certainly when people follow God, order their lives, work hard, and do things the right way, they prosper. So it's the natural result from doing, making the right steps and doing things in a just and fair way. That's what happens. And so I am excited about that. Now, at that particular conference, the president they kept badgering him to talk about Brett Kavanaugh. And initially he didn't. Now, you have to know that the latest attack on Brett Kavanaugh, and there are many, I'm going to try to give you, again, as much information as I can, as quickly as I can, so stay tuned. The next argument is that Brett Kavanaugh lied under oath about his drinking. So there's been a campaign to get his classmates to come out and talk about what they saw with his drinking. And so you've got conflicting stories. You've got some classmates saying, oh, yes, he drank a lot, and I can't believe he never passed out. Although they never saw him, they can't believe that he didn't do that. Then you have others saying, I never saw Brett ever black out. I know, you know, we all drank. And so the argument goes on. So President Trump is pulled into this. And this is actually kind of funny. This is clip 7. This is the president's response to some question from some reporter. Here it is.
So if he did lie about his drinking, does that mean you'll pull his...
I don't think he did. Okay. Here's what I'm just saying. I'm not a drinker. I can honestly say I never had a beer in my life. OK,
right.
It's one of my only good traits. I don't drink. Whenever they're looking for something good, I say I never had a glass of alcohol. I've never had alcohol. I've just, you know, for whatever reason. Can you imagine if I had, what a mess I'd be? I'd be the world's worst. But I never drank. I never drank. OK, but I can tell you, I watched that hearing. And I watched a man saying that he did have difficulty as a young man with drink. The one question I didn't ask is, how about the last 20 years? Have you had difficulty the last 20 years? Because nobody said anything bad about him.
All right, I'm going to jump in. The point he's making is there were 6 FBI investigations before. If he were stumbling blind drunk in his adult life and career, those investigations would have shown that. They go to you. In those FBI investigations, they go to your neighbors, your friends, your family. They talk to everybody. So it would have shown up. Lindsey Graham said this: no, I think you're trying to portray him as a stumbling, bumbling, drunk gang rapist who during high school and college was Bill Cosby. 6 FBI background checks over the years would have uncovered this. All right. So last night, Julie Swetnick, who is the third accuser, I've told you about Julie. She's the Michael Avenatti client. She's the one who makes the most salacious claims about gang rape and all of this. So she was on, what was she on? She was on NBC News. And this was kind of their wrap-up, and I just wanted to play, I think you see, hear her voice a little bit. She told her story, and this is what NBC News reported. Let's listen.
In that statement, Swetnick said she became aware of efforts by Kavanaugh and his friend Mark Judge to spike punch at parties. In our interview, she said she saw them near the punch, but did not specifically say she saw either man spike it.
Did you see Brett Kavanaugh, you know, spiking the punch, putting green alcohol in the punch?
Well, I saw him giving red Solo cups to quite a few girls during that time frame. I saw him around the punch, I won't say bowls, or the punch containers. I don't know what he did, but I saw him buy them.
Are there friends who remember these parties, too, and remember you?
Oh, I think everybody in the county remembers those parties.
Because we haven't heard from those friends, so I'm asking, you know, are there people
alive today who would say, I went
to those parties with
Julie? Yes, there are people that know about those parties.
This morning, Swetnick provided 4 names of friends she says went to the parties with her. One of them said he does not recall a Julie Swetnick. Another of the friends she named is deceased. We've reached out to the other 2 and haven't heard back.
All right, I'm laughing inappropriately as usual, but it's really bizarre and it's ridiculous. She claims she saw Brett in line going into a room where gang rape was taking place. That's one of the things she claims. And yet she can't corroborate anything. She says that they drugged girls and then took them into these rooms. And she thinks Brett Kavanaugh's guilty because she saw him hand out red cups to girls. And this is the thin grail upon which they base these accusations. And I would argue that Christine Ford's, however convincing she may have been in testimony, I think was completely fabricated. We're learning now, by the way, in regard to Christine Ford, she wrote an article, which I don't know if I have in my hand, but she, now they've uncovered some research she did on hypnosis and repressed memories, basically. And that you can, which by the way, how can I do this quickly? That's a Freudian method that has been criticized and is no longer used. She talks about self-hypnosis to remember things in the past. And so a lot of questions probably should be asked, although she has refused to ask them, about what her therapist has done with her. Was she hypnotized? Did she self-hypnotize to recall her alleged memories? I think of Cory Booker, who said in the hearing room, remember he kept saying it's her truth, it's his truth, as though truth, you know, could change. But that's kind of where we are with this. There are no corroborators for Christine Ford's story, for Julie Swetnick's story, and for the, Hernandez, I think, something like that. No one has said, can corroborate any of their stories. And yet we march on. Let me just say that the FBI may wind down its investigation by today, they're saying, although now the Democrats, of course, are wanting to move the goalpost as Mitch McConnell went on the floor of the Senate to talk about the fact that they'll never be satisfied. And so he is saying there will be a vote this week. There will be a vote this week. President Trump really fought back in the way I think is appropriate. Oh, man, I'm going to run out of time here. But I'm going to go ahead anyway. This is the president and the Rose Garden after that announcement about Canada, really putting this in proper perspective. This is clip five.
You know what happened? They're going back to high school. And they're saying he drank a lot one evening in high school. I tell you what, I happen to know some United States senators. One who is on the other side, who's pretty aggressive. I've seen that person in very bad situations. Okay? I've seen that person in very, very bad situations, somewhat compromising. And, you know, I think it's very unfair to bring up things like this. However, whatever the senators want is okay with me. They're going to be making a decision. Whatever they want is okay with me.
All right, let's got that. Let's go to number six. And this is more of what he's saying here.
Some of these people asking the questions. Okay. Look at Blumenthal. He lied about Vietnam. He didn't just say, hey, I went to Vietnam. No, no. For 15 years, he said he was a war hero. He fought in Da Nang province. We call him Da Nang Richard. Da Nang. That's his nickname. Da Nang. He never went to Vietnam. And he's up there saying, we need honesty and we need integrity. This guy lied when he was the Attorney General of Connecticut. He lied. I don't mean a little bit. And then when he got out, he actually dropped out of the race and he won anyway, because Democrats always win in Connecticut. He won very close, probably the closest ever. But here's a guy lied, and now he's up there talking like he's holier than thou. You know what? Take a look at his record. And when he got out and when he apologized, he was crying. The tears were all over the place. And now he acts like, how dare you? Take a look at the judge who has led an exemplary life. I mean, you're going back to high school because he had beer? I think the judge has been pretty amazing about describing his situation with alcohol and with beer.
I'm going to interrupt the president. I wish we had more time. Cory, but he talks about Cory Booker. Cory has gone on record as talking about how he sexually, groped a minor when he was in high school. He writes about it, and this is before all of this. And that's what Donald Trump is saying. The pot is calling the kettle black. Let me just also say, the other things that have happened, there's a cartoonist who drew a despicable picture of Brett Kavanaugh's daughter. Kavanaugh's daughter says another prayer. Dear God, forgive my angry, lying, alcoholic father for sexually assaulting Dr. Ford. This is how wicked it's getting. The attorney, Deborah Katz, is now trying to find more women to come out against Kavanaugh, saying, you know, basically we can't let him sit on the court, completely political. Facebook is removing support for Kavanaugh systematically. I could give you examples of that. And then I'll come back to the other stuff a little bit later. Because next, coming up, we're going to be talking to a young black conservative man about what it is like to be a young black conservative man. Stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Are you still stuck on the healthcare roller coaster? Still paying those high premiums? and strapped into huge deductibles? Not knowing what's around the next turn? Well, then let me tell you about a sound, sensible healthcare choice that really is affordable. It's MediShare, the healthcare sharing solution people like you have been trusting in for more than 25 years. MediShare members report saving around $500 a month on their healthcare costs, and they never pay for things they don't believe in. Time to say goodbye to that healthcare roller coaster and say hello to MediShare.
Call *345 to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare. Call *345. Message and data rates may apply. That's *345.
Len Ingram of Redeem Clean felt God call him to support the American Family Association.
I'm a laundryman. I'm the son of a laundryman, too. I love clean clothes. I love the business. I love everything about it. This project was built exclusively to support AFA and AFR. There's no strings attached. Another thing that I would like to see come out of this is that I would like to see other business people feel a calling to support ministries wherever and whatever they do to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
In addition to your regular AFA giving, Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent allows you to increase your support of AFA just by continuing to wash your family's clothes. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more, find options, and get Redeem Clean products at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. The mother of a fifth grader in Splendora, Texas, discovered her little angel was quite the devil, calling other children names at Greenleaf Elementary School, taunting his classmates, a bully. Instead of dismissing her son's bad behavior, she took immediate action. ABC News reports she made the boy wear a t-shirt to school that read, "I am a bully," not to embarrass the child, but to teach him a lesson. She did so only after consulting with the school's guidance counselor, but it turns out a good many people objected to her parenting skills. They accused her of putting a scarlet letter on her son. But the Texas mom stands by her decision. She says she's an old school parent who does not coddle her children or sugarcoat the world. She said the most important thing is that her son learned his lesson. And in the end, that's all that matters. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I think liberalism to me means bondage, and conservatism means freedom. The freedom to choose, the freedom to have responsibility to go after things in life. It's the founding principles of this country, that any person could come to this country with the clothing on their back and make something of themselves. I learned conservatism through my grandfather. I didn't know that that was the name. I didn't know these were conservative principles. Starting his life on a sharecropping farm, working tremendously hard, 5 years old, picking cotton and laying tobacco out to dry on a farm. And today he now owns that farm. That was the American dream. And we lost that. We gave that up as government got bigger and the individual got smaller.
That's the voice of Candace Owens. You've seen her, but you may not recognize her name. She's a young black conservative who has, she started online. That's when I first, you know, posts and whatever, blogs. And she, her voice was so strong, and she's, you can hear how articulate, and she's so young. But she is explaining the change in her life and how she understood that she was actually conservative and how her dad or grandfather exampled before her, the principles of conservatism, which have, they don't know a color. They just don't know a color. And yet I have to tell you, I know because I know that the word conservative in the black community, the older black community, is just a word that they shudder at because it takes on other meanings for them. And so it's pretty interesting to hear a young black people now talking, embracing conservatism. We're going to talk about it in just a second, but I want to kind of give you some background of what the atmosphere is like for our students, our kids, black and white. Here's a story that just is amazing to me. A Georgetown professor says in response to these hearings that white GOP senators deserve miserable deaths. And this is basically what she says. Her name is Carol Christine Fair. She's an associate professor in the Security Studies program at Georgetown. Now, you do all understand that Georgetown is a Catholic university in Washington, D.C. It's right on the Potomac. It's just beautiful. It's breathtaking. The campus, it has a rich history. It's the place where Barack Obama spoke and they covered up the cross at his request. Do you remember that? That was early on in his presidency. Georgetown's got some really bad stuff going on there. So I want to report this. The week before, the hearing, she went on a profanity-laced Twitter tirade against Brett Kavanaugh, calling the embattled nominee a rapist and perjurer. She described the GOP as a blanking death cult and filthy swine. There's more about this. In fact, Campus Reform reports a little bit more detail. The Georgetown University professor who previously tweeted profanity-laced comments about Republicans now says white GOP senators in Thursday's Kavanaugh hearing deserve miserable deaths. She tweeted of those senators, "We castrate their corpses and feed them to swine." Georgetown University Distinguished Associate Professor Christine Fair tweeted that white Republican senators in the Brett Kavanaugh hearing deserve to die. "Look at this chorus of entitled white men justifying a serial rapist arrogated entitlement." Lindsey Graham's tirade In regard to that, "All of them deserve miserable deaths while feminists laugh as they take their last gasps." And to repeat, "We castrate their corpses and feed them to swine." Yes. So, Campus Reform goes on to report that she has several different blogs. Let's see. She said in another one, oh, no, she said in response to the reaching out of Campus Reform, she said to them, "There is a war going on against women and you, and your despicable herd of so-called journalists seek to protect male privilege and shame women for our victimization or our rage, and you are complicit in this war." She had also tweeted, "The GOP doesn't care about women. We knew this. Blank them." Then it goes on to talk about a blog that she has, and I can't even say the name of the blog because it's filthy. And she says of that blog, "This blog is not about doxing." Now, doxing, you know, is revealing all the personal private information of people, putting it online, your banking, your home, your phone number, your children's names, everything. So she has been doing this. "This blog is not about doxing foes or people with whom I disagree politically or otherwise. This blog is about accountability." She's published home addresses, phone numbers, and places of employment of people who contacted her. She's also bragged about emailing the spouses and employers of those who contact her. Despite what some clowns have said, no one finds themselves mocked and outed on blank, that's the name of her, the site that she's established that I can't repeat, "without harassing me. No one. Some men have had the audacity to whine that I am outing my poor defenseless harassers. I tell these weasels to take their almost always white male privilege and kindly deposit it on the only..." You know what? I can't say that part. She wishes them not very good things in regard to their physical bodies. Then she has another blog that I can't repeat the name of it either because it's also filthy. She describes, I can't read this. But she does, I can read this. She's referring to Rachel Mitchell, who was the attorney who was brought in from Arizona to interrogate Christine Ford. She calls her Aunt Lydia. "You don't like my violent words, which in fact are not posing a threat to anyone. I am not calling for violence. I merely speak to what my spirituality says these vile souls deserve." Now, you might be interested to wonder or to know what Georgetown is, how they're responding. The leadership of Georgetown, they've been notified about this. There have been complaints by some, you know, not many, but a few students. A Georgetown University spokesperson told Fox News, "The views of faculty members expressed in their private capacities are their own and not the views of the university. Our policy does not prohibit speech based on the person presenting ideas or the content of those ideas, even when those ideas may be difficult, controversial, objectionable. While faculty members may exercise freedom of speech, we expect that their classrooms and interaction with students to be free of bias and geared toward thoughtful, respectful dialogue. So that's the way they respond at Georgetown when a faculty member is off the rails. But at Catholic University, a different story. Catholic University is in D.C., and it has a, you know, a great reputation in D.C. So Catholic University of America Dean Will Rainford issued a tweet. Now, this was from his official university account, in which he cast doubt on one of Brett Kavanaugh's sexual assault accusers. What did Catholic University do? The president, John Garvey, suspended Rainford, saying the school does not take official political positions. But one student argued that by suspending Rainford, the university is taking the side of Kavanaugh's accusers. Now, here is, let's see if I can find, he is the, Dean Will Rainford is with the National Catholic School of Social Services. He's the dean. And this is what he said. Swetnick is 55 years old. Kavanaugh is 52. Now, Swetnick is the third accuser that I just played to you, the that NBC synopsis that nothing she said could be corroborated. She's the one that she saw Brett carrying a red, those red Solo cups. And so that must mean that he was participating in getting girls drunk so that they could go in and be gang raped. She didn't see him do it, but it happened to her, and she just thinks he was involved, and she saw him in line, or she says sort of congregated around outside the door where this was taking place. And everyone knew about it, she says. But, of course, no one can find anyone who remembers anything like that, and even NBC had to admit that. So this is Swetnick. So back to the dean. Swetnick is 55 years old. Kavanaugh is 52. Since when do senior girls hang with freshman boys? If it happened when Kavanaugh was a senior, Swetnick was an adult drinking with, and by her admission, having sex with underage boys. In another universe, he would be the victim and she the perp. Now, that's what he tweeted. So now he's been forced to issue an apology. He said, "My tweet suggested that she was not a victim of sexual assault. I offer no excuse. It was impulsive and thoughtless, and I apologize." And so the president, John Garvey, sent a statement to all the students. The Catholic University of America has no position on the Kavanaugh matter, but let there be no doubt that our university, and particularly our National Catholic School of Social Service, has a special concern for every victim and survivor of sexual assault. But they, you notice they don't mention that they have a special concern for people being accused falsely. So it's kind of like taking a side, isn't it? So there's been some... they suspended the dean, and now others are asking for him to be totally fired, of course. They've issued a set of demands, including resignation. They want a woman to replace Rainford. They want a public apology from the president. They want a donation from the university to the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. I bet that's a fine organization. And so only one professor, Chad Pecknold, pretty bravely, I have to say, says in a tweet, "Can attest we are blessed to have Dean Rainford." And so there's been some response. Matt Schlapp, who's the chairman of the American Conservative Union, tweeted, and this is a big deal because Matt is a, as you know, you see him on television often, but it's not just his television appearances. Matt runs the American Conservative Union, that's CPAC. It's a very big organization he oversees. He used to work in the Bush White House. I've known Matt for a number of years, and he said publicly, "I will never contribute to the annual collection to Catholic University in my parish ever again." So that's the way it's taking place on college campuses, and you can see why it's so hard for our kids to, even in Catholic universities, and you could say the same at evangelical universities. It may be more subtle, but it's still there. It'd be interesting to have kind of a rundown of how this is being handled on conservative, like Wheaton College. What are they doing? Calvin College, what are they doing? I really don't know. You know, I should open the phone lines. If you know, let's talk. 888-589-8840. If you have a specific knowledge about some university and how they're handling this or any other professor, just that's specifically what I'm asking for, not just a chat about anything. 888-589-8840. Then we have Willie Nelson. appearing for Beto O'Rourke. Beto is what is his name? John or something like that. He's not Hispanic. It's not, his name is not John, but he's very Irish and not Mexican heritage, not one iota. But the governor of Texas is saying that Beto O'Rourke is like a cult-like figure. And so Willie Nelson debuted in a concert on behalf of Beto O'Rourke and sang a song called Vote Him Out. I was going to play that for you earlier in the week. Actually, if you can find that, Adam, we might play a little bit of it. But you can see how powerful the left knows just how to hit every chord, especially with kids. And since kids are not taught critical thinking skills, and since they really are ignorant about process, the Constitution, and about a lot of other things, they are easily misled. It's really only strong kids, really strong, well-taught at home, that can withstand what's happening in public. Are we ready with Stephanie? No? Yes? Okay, I was trying to grab them quickly. All right, so we were going to talk to Deontay Johnson for some reason. All right, good. Well, in Deontay Johnson's place, we'll have Willie Nelson. This is what it sounded like on the stage at the Beto O'Rourke concert, trying to raise money for him. Let's listen.
Here's a new song I want to spring on y'all tonight. Take it home where you spread it around. If you don't like who's in there, vote them out. That's what Election Day is all about. And the biggest gun we got, call the ballot box. If you don't like who's in there, vote them out. Vote them out. Vote them out. And when they're gone, we'll sing and dance and shout. And she'll bring some new ones in, and they will start the show again. And if you don't like who's in there, vote them out.
All right, you know what? Actually, I totally agree with Willie Nelson. I think that's a good, I agree with him, and the midterms are hurtling along. Let me just tell you a couple of things in terms of races, because we haven't talked about this in a while. In North Dakota, that's where Heidi Heitkamp is the incumbent Democrat, and a gentleman named Kramer is challenging her. In polls, it shows that 61% of North Dakotans support Brett Kavanaugh, 27% are his nomination, 27% oppose. And the race now stands at Kramer. I don't know his first name, Mr. Kramer. He's at 51%, and Heidi Heitkamp is at 41%. That's pretty interesting. In regard to other, I thought I had some others here. I think I do. Joe Manchin is, of course, being coy about his support of Brett Kavanaugh. Actually, Peter Ducey had a report about this last night featuring Patrick Morrissey, who's his Republican opponent, who predicts that Joe Manchin will not say he's voting for Brett Kavanaugh for his nomination until the last minute, because he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to be the one Democrat who is responsible for the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh. The polls show that this is a really tough race. Close. Joe Manchin's very popular in West Virginia. Patrick Morrissey, it's kind of a case, from what I can tell, of a person who's like very engaging, likable, Joe Manchin, and a guy who's very administrative, but has done some great things. Joe Manchin says some wonderful things and then does terrible things. Patrick Morrissey doesn't necessarily present himself well, but he does great things. So there you go. So then in St. Louis, I just got this in my inbox. Josh Hawley, who is the Republican challenger to Claire McCaskill, has a 2-point lead over Claire McCaskill. Now, that's different. You know, the president just went there to do a rally for Josh. I think it was there. Can't keep track. He was in West Virginia and he was in Kentucky. Actually, Tennessee. We should talk about that, and we will when we come back. Marsha Blackburn is running against the former governor, Bredesen. And that's an interesting race, too. Man, here we go. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. One word has proven to be debilitating in our society, the D word, discrimination. What we fail to realize is discrimination is not automatically a dirty concept. We discriminate against thieves and murderers when we send them to prison. We discriminate against sexual predators by keeping them away from children. And yes, we rightly discriminate against men when we keep them out of women's restrooms. According to Psalm 1, we have to discriminate against the counsel of the wicked in order to be blessed. Good thing God isn't debilitated by the D word.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The Catholic Church in Pennsylvania is reeling from a massive scandal involving priests sexually abusing children. The grand jury found at least 1,000 victims over the last 70 years. The source of this scandal goes back to the early 1960s when the church struggled to recruit priests because of the celibacy requirement. So the church began admitting homosexuals into their seminary since they had no interest in marriage. The results have been entirely predictable. There are two takeaways here. One, the link between homosexuality and pedophilia is now impossible to dismiss. And two, many of our Catholic friends are calling for the church to admit married men into the priesthood. They're right. Peter, the first pope, was married, so there is no reason priests today shouldn't be free to imitate his example.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Carla from Nebraska. You are doing God's work, and you're a really great blessing. Before we moved where we are at now, we listened to AFR on the radio, and we had it on 24/7. But where we live now, you are not on the radio. We missed listening to you so much, but finally, with our Android phone, we found you. We are now engaged in the political realm by contacting our president and our Congress leaders. And we have also found that by writing our comments in a Word document, we can then copy and paste the email everyone needs to be contacted. Thank you, thank you. Keep listening to God and doing His work.
American Family Radio's mission is to inform, equip, and activate our listeners to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture. Plan to partner with us in this vital work during our three-day share-a-thon beginning Tuesday, October 16th.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel is off to Israel this week. She must think her hosts haven't noticed that her government is moving heaven and earth to do business with and otherwise prop up an Iranian regime whose mantra is death to Israel. In fact, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been working at least as hard to discourage Germany and other nominal friends from buying Iran's oil and investing in its economy, much of which is controlled by the jihadist Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps. So is President Trump, who is mindful that the mullahs have also vowed death to America for nearly 40 years. Fortunately, a growing number of European companies are quite sensibly deciding to keep doing business with the United States rather than foreclose that option by flouting American sanctions on Iran. Let's hope Ms. Merkel will do the same. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
A well-placed Republican source says the FBI may not need this entire week to investigate the allegations against Judge Brett Kavanaugh and could wrap things up as soon as tomorrow. The Senate Majority Leader predicts Democrats will never be satisfied.
Their goalposts keep shifting, but their goal hadn't moved an inch. We'll be voting this week.
But the swing senator, whose floor vote on the nominee could prove decisive, today downplayed any time limit.
I had one of those conversations just 5 minutes ago to make sure that that any current credible allegation that has been made is fully investigated.
Democrats, happy to have a pause in a floor vote, are already seeking to expand the investigation, insisting the FBI should interview 23 people.
This list of witnesses is only
a beginning. It's not the end of what the FBI needs to do.
The main focus remains on Christine Blasey Ford's sexual assault claim. Her lawyer said over the weekend they had still not been contacted by the FBI, but agents may still be trying to corroborate her story before reaching out. Prosecutor Rachel Mitchell, who questioned accuser Ford last week, sent a letter to Republican senators obtained by Fox, writing a reasonable prosecutor would not bring Ford's case. A he-said-she-said case is incredibly difficult to prove, but this case is even weaker than that. Yale classmate Deborah Ramirez, who detailed a separate allegation, has spoken to the FBI and offered names of those who corroborate her claim the nominee exposed himself at a party. A third public claim of inappropriate treatment toward women by Julie Swetnick, although it wasn't clear whether the FBI would investigate.
With search and destroy.
And now some Democrats say beyond the allegations, his fiery defense at Thursday's hearing alone should disqualify him.
Judge Kavanaugh harbors deep, deep partisan resentment. That's not the kind of justice we need on the Supreme Court.
Late today, two of Kavanaugh's friends from Yale, including a suite mate for most of his college years, put out statements. They say they never saw Kavanaugh blackout from alcohol or to be unable to remember the previous evening's events. They also say they never saw him act aggressively, hostile, or sexually aggressive toward women.
Okay, Mike Emanuel, Fox News. Now, in that clip that Mike played, you heard Richard Blumenthal, and I'm going to repeat what President Trump made very clear. I've mentioned this, but maybe not as in as much detail as I should have. Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut, for 15 years, claimed he was a Vietnam hero. Not just that he served, but that he was a hero. He spun all kinds of tales. He told stories of combat. And when it was revealed, when he was running for re-election, that he had lied all of these years, that he never served, he was never in Vietnam, Blumenthal did a tearful crying, oh, you know, I just was confused, or I guess I related to it so much that I just felt like I had been there, sort of like, you know, Miss Ford. It must be true because she says it. No evidence. All of her facts, not many of her facts, continue to change. Some aren't even there at all. But because they feel it, it must be true. So because Blumenthal thought he was in Vietnam and served as and was a hero, it must be true. This is the Richard Blumenthal who said to Brett Kavanaugh in that stunning exchange. Actually, Adam, if you can find that, it'd be great. We'd play it. But when Blumenthal said to him, Mr. Kavanaugh, are you familiar with the phrase? And now I won't remember the phrase, but something, it's a Latin phrase, something unum and something plurus. In other words, the word that I can't think of is the word for lie in Latin. But it says lying in one thing, lying in everything. Oh, you understand what that means? And Brett Kavanaugh said, well, maybe you can explain that better than I could. I think Richard Blumenthal actually thought, Senator Blumenthal, he was getting one over on Brett Kavanaugh. He knew something he didn't know. And I think Brett Kavanaugh, there's no way he didn't know what that phrase meant. I'm sure he knew about Senator Blumenthal's lying about, just despicable lying, really, about his war record. And so Blumenthal has the audacity to use this phrase to try to trip up Judge Kavanaugh, lying in one thing, lying in everything. That's what the Romans say. And so anyway, that's Richard Blumenthal. He was reelected, as President Trump said, because he's a Democrat and they can do no wrong. And so then you've got Jeff Flake. He was also in the clip because he's still pulling the strings. You know, he's done this great thing by demanding this investigation of the FBI, and he is withholding his judgment about Kavanaugh until he gets this full report, and he wants to be, he's concerned that it's a thorough investigation, and on it goes. And we played for you him making a joke to this, World Something Festival in Colorado, just, 24, 48 hours after that hearing, laughing on stage and joking, you can meet me in the elevator any day, referring to that horrendous moment. We thought it was horrendous for him, maybe not so much, where he was being harassed by these women, one of them a vice president of a, or not a vice president, a president of a Soros-funded organization, screaming at him about abuse. And he stood there meekly, and 24 hours later, he's laughing on the stage with Senator Coons, and he's telling all these young girls at this festival, you can join me in the elevator anytime. Well, now, Senator Flake, who is, of course, such a man of integrity, he was in New Hampshire in the last few days talking about a 2020 presidential race and a possible run for the White House. That is what this is all about. Meanwhile, Chuck Schumer, as you heard in that clip, is charging that Kavanaugh had unleashed a disqualifying partisan screed when he said, remember that this was a payback from Friends of the Clintons. Remember, Judge Kavanaugh served on the Kenneth Starr impeachment inquiry. And so that's what he was referring to. Schumer also accused Kavanaugh of blaming the revenge of the Clintons for his predicament, when in fact, Kavanaugh, of course, attributed the situation in part to those seeking revenge on behalf of the Clintons. All right, so here's Chuck Schumer with this other tack. Now they're trying to get Kavanaugh for lying under oath about his drinking, the extent of it. The second tack is that he disqualified himself because he made statements that he mentioned the Clintons and that this was a payback from Friends of Clinton for his work on the Star Committee. He didn't even spell all that out the way I did, but he alluded to it. So they're up in arms about that, as though no Supreme, they're making it seem as though, they're saying, how can he serve on the Supreme Court when he's so partisan? He's so partisan. How can he possibly be trusted serving on the Supreme Court? Well, Andy McCarthy dug up an interesting little nugget, and this is what he posted on his Twitter account. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg on Donald Trump, quote, he is a faker. He has no consistency about him. He says whatever comes into his head at the moment. He really has an ego. How has he gotten away with not turning over his tax returns? That's Ruth Bader Ginsburg speaking in 2016, the Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So for the left to claim that the Supreme Court, generally speaking, they're right. That was stunning when Ruth Bader Ginsburg said that. Supreme Court judges and judges in general, I have a good friend that's a judge, the head of a superior court out in, I'm not going to be specific about it. Let me just say that one of the things he said to me that he's had to give up is his freedom of speech because he can't express his political opinions anymore because he's a judge. So they're right about some of that, but they don't follow the rules, you see. It's different for them. Okay, so I mentioned this, but let me go into greater detail. I mentioned Deborah Katz. Again, Deborah is the attorney. She's the one with the rounded glasses, short, dark hair, sitting to Christine Ford's right. She was recommended to Christine Ford by John Feinstein's committee. Christine Ford is a radical, radical leftist. She was seen, I'm repeating myself, so forgive me for that. She was seen at a Jeff Sessions rally when he was being confirmed by the Senate in a socialist fist T-shirt saying, we're going to resist. That's the attorney representing Deborah Katz, who was recommended by Dianne Feinstein's committee as that person that should represent her. So that's okay. So that's Deborah Katz. Now, Deborah Katz has a good friend who is soliciting classmates for information on Brett Kavanaugh. And this is basically what they're saying. In regard to Julie Swetnick, that's the one who is the Avenatti's client. I know it's confusing. It's very confusing. She's the Michael Avenatti person who the FBI is not going to interview because she has no credibility, at least at this point. So this is the email. In regard to Julie Swetnick, whose allegations of drugging and gang rape just came out through Michael Avenatti, please also let me or Deborah know if you can corroborate any of her allegations. Time is critical if you have information and do not want to see Brett Kavanaugh sit on the Supreme Court for the next 40 years. Please use your voice. You will not get a second chance. So this attorney who's, you know, all about process is trying to recruit people to stop Kavanaugh. It is political. We all know that, but this is just the proof of it. There's a new poll out, and this is published by Yahoo News, and I have to say, then I go, well, let's see about this. This is the headline. 4 in 10 Americans believe sexual misconduct allegations against U.S. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, while 3 in 10 do not, and the rest do not know, according to a Reuters Ipsos poll. Of course, Reuters is the left of the left. I don't really know about Ipsos, but Reuters definitely is. The poll was released on Sunday. The poll found that 42% of adults said they believe the accusations, about the same number of men and women. 31% do not believe them, and 27% say they don't know what to believe. 2/3 of Democrats believe the allegations. 2/3 of Republicans said they did not. A recent YouGov poll found that the country was split over the testimony that Kavanaugh and Ford presented, with 41% saying they believe Ford, 35% saying they believe Kavanaugh. The Reuters Ipsos poll found that 41% of adults oppose Kavanaugh. That was about 5 points. That was up about 5 percentage points from a similar poll conducted September 18th to 24. And here, I want to read the rest of this. When it came to the allegations of sexual misconduct, the poll found that Americans who are younger, more educated, and single were more likely to believe the allegations than those who were older, less educated, and married. So you dumb people who believe Kavanaugh, you know, you're less educated, you're older, and you're married. What do you know? You're not like the hip, more educated, single, younger people who believe. You see how this goes. Okay, so then we get down to what the poll is. It was conducted in English. It was online September 26th through the 30th. So that would be during the, I don't know if it was during the hearing. Probably not much time had elapsed. 2,478 American adults, 983 who identify as Democrats, 818 who identify as Republicans. So a couple of problems with this. I'm just taking the time with this because an online poll is never, it's never trustworthy because you're not really doing a sample. It's whoever responds. And so the people that respond, often it depends on who's the most energized. And that already dismisses the veracity of the poll to me. So you just have to be careful what you listen to. I think these polls in these various states that we're seeing poll numbers shift in these Senate races. I just read the one to you about West Virginia, the ones out of North Dakota where Heidi Heitkamp is the incumbent. It's not good news for them. People are supporting Brett Kavanaugh by huge percent, 20, 30%. And so I really actually, honestly, it's just my feeling. Of course, it's a feeling. It's my feeling that that's the accurate measure of this and not this other poll. George, I mentioned to you earlier that Facebook is blacking out support of Kavanaugh. Now, I'm not saying that you haven't seen anything in support of him on Facebook. I'm just telling you that some major things have been blocked that I know about. Here's one. This is Eagle Forum from Washington State posted. She was trying to boost a Washington Eagle Forum post for Kavanaugh and was denied. We also know that there was a photo posted of the Kavanaugh family with just the simple words, "I'm with them," and it was blocked. We know that a Facebook bulletin board in Queens, New York, an attached flyer was removed. The flyer said, "The American First Patriots, MAGA Queens, support your local police and the Rockaway Republican Club will have an America First rally for God, family, country, our president, our flag, Judge Kavanaugh, and our Republican candidates on Saturday, October 6th. And it goes on to say, "And share this event." Well, it was blocked from Facebook. So you see what's happening here. There are also, people have asked me about this, there are lots of women who knew Kavanaugh are coming out in support, but a lot of women who don't know him personally who've come out. There was a rally last week before his hearing. And did you see any coverage of that? Precious little, if any. But don't think that people aren't doing a lot of things in support of him. Don't think that a lot of people are not supporting him, because they are. It's just being blacked out from Facebook, from news reports. That's the name of the game. So be smart, be wise, stay the course, do what's right. Pray that God will break through all of this lies and deception and that we can restore truth to the very fabric of our country. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.